suppose you start with nothing. This is Scotland, where you can join an army that's for peace. We love football, and Florida is coming to Miami. We love football, we got another samba with Brazil. This is Scotland, where everybody...
All right, that's Belle Sebastian, It Only Takes One Lion. Belle and Sebastian, the band famous for leaving their drummer at the Walmart in North Dakota.
That's pretty great.
Do you remember that story?
No, I've never heard it.
It happened like maybe, I want to say like 2019 maybe, where they just stopped at Walmart, left, and the drummer didn't make it back on the bus, and they didn't realize it until they got to, I want to say maybe Minneapolis.
That's pretty crazy. That's so many hours.
I think they like put out a call for like, could anyone drive our drummer down to the cities?
Wow. And he had probably fallen in with a community of travelers that hang out in the Walmart parking lots overnight. He's like, no, I'm cool. I found my people. We received support from the Lake Country Journal, a magazine showcasing the beauty, landscapes, and people of Lake Country. The February-March issue publishes the winners of their annual photo contest, which are also displayed at the Brainerd Lakes Regional Airport. Submissions accepted all year round at lakecountryjournal.com.
And support comes from Watermark Arts Center in downtown Bemidji, featuring exhibits by Indigenous artists in the Mikanan Gallery. The center is accessible and open to all. More at watermarkartscenter.org.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Now for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. An Iron Range man who escaped custody last fall will spend at least 3 years in prison. 41-year-old Michael Todd Hart of Hibbing was sentenced last week for burglary, assault, and violating a domestic abuse no-contact order. He pleaded guilty in May. He was in custody for those charges when he escaped from a corrections facility in Saginaw. On Monday, Hart also pleaded guilty to a felony charge for that escape. His sentencing in that case is set for August. The Crow Wing County Sheriff's cooperation with federal immigration agents continues to draw public ire and support. Chelsea Perkins attended Tuesday's county board meeting.
Human detention should never be used as a business model to plug a county budget deficit.
Jane Halbrick was one of seven residents who voiced concerns to county commissioners in a room of about four dozen people. They're asking the county to withdraw from its formal partnerships with ICE. Crow Wing County houses detainees in its jail as part of an agreement with federal agencies, and the sheriff's office has also entered 287G agreements to assist immigration agents with enforcement. Gary Payne is an instructor at Central Lakes College in Brainerd. He teaches criminology to law enforcement students there and has worked in the field.
If you can't get due process right, you can't get anything right in law enforcement, and they just keep violating it.
He says he doesn't want to see his former students associated with what's going on with ICE.
There's something going on here, and I think we have all seen it. I don't care what your politics are. It's obvious that we've got a problem.
No one responded during the meeting, although Sheriff Eric Klang did take questions from activists afterward. Residents have been commenting on this issue for months, but on Tuesday, many were answering the call of the Minnesota branch of the American Civil Liberties Union to pack the room in light of recent ICE activity in the region. The organization says agreements like Crow Wing's, quote, blur the lines between federal immigration agents and local police. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
A new cannabis business plans to open a facility in a former food bank in La Prairie as soon as this summer. Adam Nelson is the general manager of Bernie LLC. According to a permit approved by the La Prairie City Council, the business will grow, manufacture, and sell cannabis products at the facility. The proposal is the latest addition to the region's burgeoning cannabis industry that includes plans for a major cannabis business park and a municipal dispensary in nearby Grand Rapids. Here's Nelson.
We think that the region has signaled that they are open for business and want these businesses in the area. We want to be part of that.
This is the second cannabis business to get a permit from the city for the warehouse. The first was informed days after getting its permit that property owner Second Harvest Northland was going with another buyer. The hunger relief organization closed the food bank last summer after consolidating to one distribution facility in Duluth. Its Grand Rapids food shelf is still open in the building. President and CEO Shay Morris has previously said that the organization is exploring a new Grand Rapids food shelf location. Thomas Newman owns a large tract of undeveloped land near the warehouse. A 55-plus community was recently built there, and there are plans to develop more housing.
Who wants to live 100 feet from a cannabis growing facility that may smell like marijuana?
Nelson says the business has a scent mitigation plan, and the city added additional odor control measures to the permit. Rockridge will have just $136,000 left in reserves after the 2026-27 school year. The school board approved the district's budget Monday with a $250,000 deficit. Iron Range Today reports that the school board's policy says to strive for an unassigned fund balance, or reserves, of 8 to 12% of the budget. That's $3 million to $4.5 million.
You'll see, notice that we are definitely not meeting that.
Andrea Lintela is Rockridge's business manager.
We have our deficit, and we're getting lower and lower and lower in our unassigned fund balance.
The district was initially facing a $2.5 million shortfall. Iron Range Today says the district reduced its activities budget by 20%, moved staff to special education roles, cut positions, and did not replace some retiring staff. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
You are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show here on KAXE, KBXE, People Power Radio. My name is Andrew DeZingle, here with DJ Dang.
Good morning. Support for KAXE comes from Woodworks Homes, dedicated to the art of building in northern Minnesota by constructing handcrafted new homes and offering remodeling services. More at woodworksmn.com.
And we receive support from the Veteran Mental Health Crisis Response Team of Itasca County. This crisis intervention service is a program of first call for help 211. It provides free crisis assessments, stabilization services, referrals, and resourcing to veterans and their families who are in crisis. Trained providers are available to serve fellow veterans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by dialing 211. Now it's time to hear more from Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Michelle Martin in Washington, D.C. Good morning. Congress passed the largest housing bill in decades last night with strong bipartisan support.
The measure now heads to the president's desk for a signature. So what will it actually do to help with housing affordability?
Here to tell us about it is NPR personal finance reporter Stephen Basaha. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
So homeownership is a big part of the American dream, but it's just financially out of reach for many people right now. Why is that?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of reasons the cost of homeownership has gone up. Like, you know, mortgage rates have risen over the past several years. Wages have recently fallen behind inflation. The cost of land alone has skyrocketed about 75% since the pandemic. And then there's the classic supply and demand problem. The U.S. is short millions of homes, by some counts about 4 or 5 million units short of the demand. And, you know, that sends prices up.
So what does this legislation try to do to make homeownership more attainable?
Well, probably the part of the bill that's gotten the most attention is that it will ban corporate investors from buying up tons of single-family homes. Politicians like Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and President Trump have all blamed private equity for gobbling up these homes by putting down cash offers, and that also drives up prices. So this legislation will make it so those big investors can't buy up more than 350 homes. Now, these investors, they do just make up a tiny fraction of the overall housing market. But I did speak with Senator Warren, a Democrat, who co-sponsored a bill with Republican Senator Tim Scott, and she pointed out how in some places, like Atlanta, corporations own a big slice of the market.
If you don't live in a neighborhood where private equity has already moved in, believe me, you're on the list.
Okay, so that's one change, but this bill has more than 40 parts to it. What else stands out to you?
Yeah, one of the core ideas of this bill is to make it easier for home builders to build homes. And it does that by streamlining federal housing regulation. Like, for example, if there's a new building going up between two that already got an environmental review, builders really can skip that step. Another provision creates a grant to have communities develop, like, essentially a Sears catalog of pre-approved housing designs, so builders need fewer approvals to get up to code. And when asked researchers, there was, like, one thing they were most excited about, this corner of the housing market that sort of has been forgotten about and stigmatized.
Okay, what corner is that?
Yeah, that is manufactured homes. They are cheaper to build than other homes, and this will make it so that's even cheaper by getting rid of a part that most owners don't even need. That is this permanent chassis, this metal frame that lets you transport it. You know, mobile homes are rarely actually mobile. They usually stay in just one spot. This bill gets rid of that chassis requirement because it's just not needed in many cases. That alone could save $5,000 or $10,000 with the price tag, so it can make a pretty big difference here.
Okay, yeah, I see that point. But you know, housing problems have been a problem for a while. I mean, you've been reporting on this. If President Trump signs this bill, like he's expected to do, how soon before Americans could notice some relief?
Well, it's going to take a while to feel most of the effects of this bill. It's just going to, you know, take time to encourage more new home building and just actually build the homes. The bill also encourages local governments to do some reforms because they have actually a lot of power over how fast houses get built. And there will still be other challenges like mortgage rates and land costs. But, you know, Warren said it's been about 30 years since the federal government really took on any major housing legislation. Now she says lawmakers have finally actually moved.
That is NPR personal finance reporter Stephen Bisaha. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
Republican Congressman Mike Lawler of New York is a co-sponsor of the 21st Century Road to Housing Act, one of the few pieces of legislation to receive such bipartisan support this year. Congressman, so why do you think that happened? Why do you think this legislation got the kind of bipartisan support it did?
Well, I think housing is one of the most important issues that Congress can tackle when dealing with the issue of affordability. You know, we are upwards of 8 million units underbuilt nationwide. Mortgage costs, you know, over the last 5 years skyrocketed to 30-year record highs. The average age of a first-time home buyer is now 40 years old. So I think, you know, members from both parties recognize that housing is one of the biggest issues that we can tackle. You know, when you look at most Americans' wealth, it is invested in the value of their home. And so this is a real issue that we wanted to tackle. I've been working on this for years since coming to Congress, sitting on Financial Services and the Housing and Insurance Subcommittee. And, you know, six of my bills were included in this. And your reporter did a very good job of outlining some of the key elements here. Yeah. But I think, you know, in broad stroke terms, we cut through red tape and regulations. We increase access to capital for home builders and for buyers. And ultimately, bottom line is increased supply. This is a basic supply and demand issue. The more supply we have to meet the demand, the more prices will come down. And, you know, I can tell you in my area, prices are exponentially higher than just about anywhere in the world. Over the last 5 years, home values went in Westchester County, for instance, from $700,000 to over $1.1 million. Most people can't afford that. And so how we deal with this issue is critical. Yeah. And I think ultimately more supply is going to be built, which is critical.
Is this an example of how maybe local governments and maybe state governments are incapable of dealing with the situation, and it required the federal government to step in, the Congress in this case?
Well, I think this is an issue that requires federal, state, and local cooperation. Look, I don't want one-size-fits-all mandates from Washington or, in the case of New York, Albany. And I certainly do believe in local control of zoning. However, you do need to incentivize. And, you know, that's part of what the bill focuses in on is, you know, we evaluate what are impediments to building more workforce housing? What are impediments at the state and local level? What can the federal government through HUD do to help incentivize more construction and address some of the outdated state and local zoning laws and help incentivize them to upgrade that. Part of it also is infrastructure. You know, if you're not investing in the infrastructure of your community, it does make it harder to build more housing. I can tell you in my area, for instance, I have the New York City watershed. So in some communities in my district, it is exponentially harder to build because a lot of people are on septic and well as opposed to sewer and, water system. So, there are some real impediments that do impact, but you have to be able to work together. And I think the federal government hadn't really addressed the issue of housing in decades. And this was a big opportunity to do that.
All right. If we can we talk about last night's primary? The Cook Political Report considers your district, the 17th, to be the only toss-up district in New York, and Democrats have picked a combat veteran, Kate Conley, to go up against you in November. Congressman, wondering, is your working relationship with President Trump, in this case, a plus or a minus for you and other Republicans who face very tight contests this November?
Look, I've been consistently rated among the most bipartisan and effective members of Congress, precisely because I have the ability to work with everybody, regardless of who the president is. If you want to deliver results for your district and for your community and address the issues that matter, from housing to energy costs to health care to international crises, you have to be able to sit down across the aisle. It's why when Joe Biden was president, I passed, over a dozen pieces of legislation. Donald Trump president, same thing, because I'm effective and I actually engage substantively on these issues. I've been able to deliver big wins for New York, including lifting the cap on salt, the ability for folks to deduct their state and local taxes. It's why New Yorkers saw among the highest tax cut in the entire country, and why 97% of Americans saw a tax cut when they filed in April. We've secured the border and stopped the massive influx of illegal immigration into the country. That was something that we campaigned on extensively. You have to be able to work with whoever the president is and deliver for the district. And frankly, my opponent can't point to one thing in which she would buck her own party or work across the aisle. I have a very extensive record of doing that.
But do you feel you almost have to walk a tightrope between not alienating the president, but also trying to make sure that anyone else who feels that they're going to judge you because of your association with him might limit voting for you?
It's not a tightrope. When I agree with the president, I say it. When I disagree with him, I say it. You know, just a few weeks ago, I discharged a bill in support of Ukraine. I discharged a bill for the Faster Labor Contracts Act. I have an extensive record of bucking my party where it matters for my district, and I will continue to do that. But it does also require the ability to work with the president as well. You can't just be no, no, no. You have to actually engage and have a constructive ability to negotiate on these issues. And unfortunately, my opponent would never be able to do that. You can't just take the position, I hate the president. That doesn't work in reality if you're actually trying to govern and to deliver on these issues. The housing bill is just the latest example of that. This is a major bipartisan win that came as a result of negotiating with the president, and I had a seat at the table on this issue. My opponent never would have had that seat at the table.
That's Republican Congressman Mike Lawler of New York. Congressman, thanks.
Thank you.
This is NPR News.
Morning edition here on the Wednesday morning show. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I sent DJ Ding on assignment again, and he hasn't quite come back yet, so it's just going to be me for a little bit. But we want to talk about what is going on this Saturday. KXC, KBXC, Bridget's Pub, and Kagan Cork host the Beltrami Block Party in downtown Bemidji this Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. free live music with Eric Koskinen, David Huckfeldt, Little Fevers, and more, as well as food and beverages on Beltrami Avenue. Info at KXC's Facebook page, made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And later in the show, we're going to be talking with Jake from Bridget's Pub about the event. So I'll be coming up around 8:40 this morning. But if you're asking yourself, Andrew, what am I going to do until 1 o'clock on Saturday? Well, I've got great news for you. At 9 a.m. this Saturday, the KXC KBXC film fans, me, Heather Johnson, and Julie Crabb reunite to discuss the films of 1976 as part of our look back for the 50th birthday of KAXC. We are going to discuss such films as Rocky, A Star is Born, and much more this Saturday, June 27th at 9 a.m.
Sounds amazing. Can't wait to hear it.
What's your favorite movie from 1976, you think?
Oh, it's that one. Rocky? It was made in 1976. Probably, yeah. As a kid, probably Rocky would be, yeah.
I just rewatched it, and it kind of just ends. It's very odd.
Well, because they knew more were coming.
I don't think they did.
No?
I don't think so. Because, spoiler alert, Rocky, like, loses by decision, but that's the win because they never thought, he was going to get knocked out in three rounds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But, and then it's just like, Adrian, I did it. And then it's just over.
What are the other 1976 films you're talking about?
Such movies as Network, A Star is Born, Killing of a Chinese Bookie.
Oh, I don't know that one. I would say Network is my favorite of, but in that actual year of 1976.
All the President's Men, Taxi Driver.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen those. I was too young. Like I was what, 12? Or something. So I definitely didn't see Taxi Driver or All the President's Men. Mm. But yeah, Network would be my favorite of all those.
Easily. It's my second favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Absolutely. That is DJ Ding. I'm Andrew Dzingel. Also in a bit, we're going to be joined by some people from the Beltrami County Farm Bureau. They're having an Egg Day breakfast this Sunday, June 28th at the fairgrounds in Bemidji. And then around 8:10, we're going to be talking with some people from the Bemidji Community Food Shelf to talk about their farm program. And DJ Ding, I have a question for you this time of year. Like, are you still finding time to be outdoors with football on all the time?
That's a really good question. Well, yeah, when I'm at a tournament every weekend coaching, I'm outside and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, yes, in that way. But, like, walking through the woods like I would normally now and then, I haven't had much time for that. Plus, it was, you know, we mentioned ticks earlier, and I think just a couple weeks ago was, like, the tick hatch. And with my dogs, there's no way I'm going out in the woods during that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's too sketchy.
I mean, mosquitoes really, I think they're out. But
I think only just now, yeah, they've hatched. Like, walking the dogs last night, we saw a mosquito or two.
Ew.
So they're around. But, hey, we made it through most of June really without them.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So we're almost halfway through the year, and you're on the music team. So has there been some albums that have been standout favorites for you of the year so far?
You are really putting me on the spot this morning. The first one that comes to mind is Automatic. Mm-hmm. Really, really like that record. Drums, bass, and vintage synthesizers. And it's way cooler than it sounds. yeah, I think that record is a super interesting listen. And I would love to see that band live. But that's the one that jumps out at me.
All right.
What about you?
I would say probably... gosh, what is my... Oh, Woo Life. That's probably my favorite one of the year so far.
Woo Life?
Yeah, they were a band.
Is this a Wu-Tang? It's a Wu-Tang side project.
No, they're an indie rock band from England that only released one album back in 2012 called Go Tell It on the Mountain. And they broke up. They all did their little side projects. And then they came back because they like rock and roll needs to be saved kind of thing.
14 years later.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's awesome.
Is it Woo, like W-O-O, or,
nope,
or
W-U like Wu-Tang? L-Y-F.
See, now I would buy that thinking that it's a Wu-Tang side project and then be heavily disappointed when I find out it's an indie rock.
Or record. You'd be pleasantly surprised because you'll be like, hey, this isn't bad.
I'd be like, whew, rock and roll was saved.
A Wave That Will Never Break, that's the new album. And They won't even have it on streaming. You gotta purchase it.
How about something that KEXE, KBXE has been playing for the last 6 months?
I would say probably Bill Callahan's My Days of 58.
I haven't listened to that record as much as I should, I think.
I'm a big fan of Bill Callahan. Is it one of his best? I put it in the upper echelon.
Is that record better for you than Kevin Morby's record?
I do enjoy the Kevin Morby a lot, but I like Bill Callahan's voice more for me.
He's got a unique, that baritone deep voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, there was another one, too.
Yeah, now who's on the spot? Huh? He's searching. He's looking through the racks to find.
Well, I swear I just saw it.
Our KAXE question of the week is, tell us about a festival or a small town event that you think everyone should experience, whether it's museums, parks, historic sites, ice cream shops, or parades. Text us at 218-326-1234. Mine is Nevis Muskie Days.
Oh.
Because it's always a weird lineup of music, and it's a funny mix of like locals and cabin people and locals and cabin people.
Well, speaking of like small town events, not technically my hometown, but part of my home school town thing, Stephen Argyle, it's Argyle's Meet Your Neighbor Day this weekend.
Whoa, how does that work? Are you like forced to meet your neighbor if you haven't?
No, it's just like gather around in town for, I don't even know if they do a parade.
Is it like a block party kind of thing?
Yeah, they do usually a music, live music on the block party type thing.
Yeah.
My buddy John Marcel, he's going. He's in the 20th class reunion.
I suppose where you grew up, meet your neighbor might mean they live a mile away or half a mile away.
For me, yeah, where I lived for
next
sure.
Next door. Next door is way down the road.
Which was my grandpa.
Right. Oh, your grandma lived?
My grandpa and grandma lived like an hour or a mile away.
Oh, okay.
They were our closest neighbors.
Did you ever walk over to their house?
I would bike over there. I didn't walk.
Yeah? On a dirt road?
Nope. It was a paved road.
Okay.
So, okay. Oh.
Did you have some straw between your teeth?
No, but I wore a baseball cap.
I'm trying to picture, yes, little Norman Rockwell version of Andrew Dzingel riding to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
And especially when they were gone, I had to take care of their dog, Pepper. And, oh, man, that dog would be so excited seeing me coming rolling down the street, and it'd be, like, spinning around.
Yeah.
And then it looked so sad when I would leave, like, an hour later.
Would the dog just stay on the property?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he was a good dog for that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, text us your answer, what you think are your small town event or festival, or it could be a museum, park, historic site, ice cream shop, parade, whatever. I know the Debs Parade on the 4th of July was always a quirky, weird one for sure in our area around Bemidji, but you can text your answer to 218-326-1234.
So, Dan, you picked out a record, but you haven't handed it to me yet.
Well, I'm not going to hand it to you now because how are you going to cue it and do the morning show?
Well, how about you cue it and I'll do the morning show?
Okay, keep talking.
Some other things going on. Headwaters this morning with Kari Hedlund is going to have a conversation with Lucy Michelle from Little Fevers talking about the upcoming block party. Then they will be performing this Saturday along with David Huckfelt and Eric Koskinen. And don't forget, also, we have After Dark this Saturday, our late night show outside the normal KXE mix. You can tune in after Green Cheese at 9 p.m. to hear punk, hip-hop, electronic, metal-themed shows, and more. This week's host is Diane Ott. All right. And then who's hosting Green Cheese this Saturday is Janet Braneman and Christy Norland. So that'll be a fun night of the radio. So, you got it queued up?
Got it queued up. You might need to fade it in slowly.
Okay. Do you want to introduce it, or are we going to guess?
It's a live record by Sam Cooke from recorded in Harlem in 1963.
Here we go.
Thank you very kindly. Ladies and gentlemen, right now we'd like to get ready to introduce the star of our show. The young man you've all been waiting for. Mr. Soul. So what do you say? Let's all get together and welcome him to the stand with a great big hand. How about it for Sam Cooke? How about it? How about
it? Thank you very much. Before we do anything, we'd like to say to each of you, how you doing out there? Is everybody doing all right? How you doing out there? I ask you one more time, how you doing out there, all right? Yeah, that's what we want. Yeah, good. Tonight we want you, don't fight it, we're going to feel it tonight, you understand? Don't fight it, We're going to feel it. Okay, Cliff. Don't find the chip. Fight the feeling, baby. Don't fight the feeling. Got to feel the feeling tonight. Feel the feeling. Fight the feeling. Don't fight the feeling. Don't fight the feeling, baby. Don't fight the feeling. Got to feel the feeling. Got to feel the feeling. Listen. Oh, baby, when the band is playing and that solid beat, I'll make you wanna move and make you wanna groove and make you wanna pat your feet. Don't fight it, baby, feel it. Ha. Oh, baby, when you're dancing near me, with your cheek close to mine, and you begin to feel a funny thrill moving up your spine. Don't fight it, baby, feel it. Oh, yeah. Ha. Baby, when the swinging music make you wanna flip, oh, don't be in pain, trying to strain. Go on, move your hips. Oh, baby, when you're dancing near me, and I feel I wanna tease. And when I do, the feeling get you, the feel you wanna squeeze me. Don't fight it, baby, feel it. Ha. Got to feel the feeling, got to feel the feeling. Don't fight the feeling, baby, don't fight the feeling. Got to feel the feeling now. Got to feel the feeling. Cause to make you groove right when you feel the feeling, baby. Say to make you groove right when you feel the feeling. Ha. Don't fight the feeling, baby. Don't fight the feeling. Everybody that feel the feeling. I said if you feel the feeling, say oh yeah.
I love when they just do that.
Just keep it going. Wait, you're going to stop Sam Cooke? Nobody's going to stop Sam Cooke. Come on.
That was Sam Cooke with the song Feel It, Don't Fight It, live at the Harlem Square Club in 1963. From the Vault, where we play something from the KBXE vinyl library as a way to encourage our KBXE volunteer DJs to go back there and check out all the amazing vinyl we've got in collection here at... here in Bemidji. I'm Andrew DeZingle. I'm here with DJ Dang, and we receive support from ICTV, streaming news and information for and about Itasca County at watchictv.org.
We'd like to thank the IM Hotel in Grand Rapids, providing amenities like their large parking lot suitable for trailers and boats and offering fresh baked breakfast items each day. Additional information available at imhoteltimberlake.com.
And support comes from Happy Dancing Turtle, a nonprofit organization dedicated to growing stewards through education, programs, and experiences. More information at happydancingturtle.org. It's time now for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, June 24th.
Happy birthday to Mark, or yeah, happy anniversary, sorry, 37th anniversary to Mark Chowan and Adele Stock from Eden Prairie.
And happy birthday to Elizabeth Akey from West Lafayette, Indiana, turning 75 today. And Ethan Bignall in Grand Rapids, turning 21 today.
That would be Sarah Bignall's son. Happy birthday, Ethan.
And Andrew Palmer celebrating their 22nd birthday today. And Judy Smith in York, UK, and Big Fork celebrating their 79th birthday today.
Wow, that's quite the split. York, UK, and Big Fork. Happy birthday to Gracie Kern celebrating their 21st birthday today.
And Neil Martin in 10 Strike, celebrating their 63rd birthday today.
And Kim Curtis Monson is celebrating their 67th today in Duluth. And Judy Gruey, what? One of our long-term on-air volunteers, On the River host, Judy Gruey. Happy birthday, Judy. And she'll be on the river tomorrow afternoon from 1 o'clock until 4.
And a big happy birthday to Bruce Larson, Balsam Township, celebrating their birthday today as well. And to celebrate all these birthdays and anniversaries, we are going to listen to, what was the song again? Mad, Mad, Mad. This song is called Turn It Up.
Delay.
Was Mad 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 with the song Turn It Up here on the Wednesday morning show. If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us at 218-326-1234. Coming up, we're going to hear more from Maury Addition talking about Nutrition Bar Aid.
The Bagley Senior Center hosts a community spaghetti feed today, Wednesday, June 24th from 5 to 7. Free will donations will be accepted.
And we receive support from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, a broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic GigaZone internet speeds up to 10 gig and local customer service. Learn more at paulbunyan.net.
And we'd like to thank the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
And now we're going to hear more from Morning Edition.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm A. Martinez. When the Trump administration dissolved USAID over a year ago, it disrupted the system, sending a special food made from American-grown peanuts to starving children around the world. Two U.S. factories make this ready-to-use therapeutic food, Georgia-based Manna Nutrition and Edisea in Rhode Island. They're now looking for new delivery channels, as Georgia Public Broadcasting's Grant Blankenship reports.
A production line chugs along as Manna Nutrition Compliance Officer Andrea Hines leads a tour of the factory for dignitaries from near and far, including colleagues Edisea Nutrition and Trump administration officials.
We have an expansion that will walk past.
Hines points to cardboard cases sliding by on a conveyor belt.
Each case represents 2.5 lives that are going to be saved.
For a malnourished child, 3 pocket-sized packs a day for 6 weeks of what's like a sweetened peanut butter can mean the difference between life and death. This factory in Fitzgerald, Georgia, population about 8,000, is one of only 2 in the nation making this ready-to-use therapeutic food, or RUTF. For peanut farmer and Georgia Peanut Commission Vice Chair Joe Botifer, this is a point of pride. A friend, a peanut sheller, used to bring back photos from trips to Africa where kids were given RUTF.
You got the before picture and you got the after picture. Now, unless you're blind, you can pick them out. Yeah. I mean, I think this is the best humanitarian effort that the peanut industry has.
Or had. USAID had been responsible for over half the orders annually for RUTF before the Trump administration dismantled the agency over a year ago. Now orders are at a trickle and cases of RUTF are stacked beneath a huge American flag hanging from the rafters, waiting to be deployed. That's why MANA put on this tour for the dignitaries, including a big lunch, where they and Adesia heard from Alabama native Linda Blanchard.
Madam Ambassador, welcome to Fitzgerald. So honored that y'all would take some time.
Blanchard is President Trump's ambassador to the United Nations World Food Program, and she explains his take on humanitarian aid.
And now this president's doing it bigger and better.
With some changes.
Instead of its continual aid without showing something and raising these countries up, it's more humanitarian trades.
Humanitarian trade. Or as some State Department documents call it, commercial diplomacy. The idea is that the U.S. will want something in return for food aid.
Under a new umbrella, and it's DHR.
DHR is the Bureau of Disaster and Human Response, a new arm of the State Department. It only has about an eighth of the funding of the former USAID. Research published in the medical journal The Lancet estimates that some 163,000 more children could die annually as a result of the end of USAID. Which is why...
I'm thinking, if the State Department money takes longer...
Then Maria Kasparian with Adesia says they have to find new ways to move their product, with or without the U.S. government.
Our ultimate need is getting these life-saving foods to children when they need them, which is now, right? The need didn't stop.
For now, both companies are seeing what help is left from private philanthropy. MANA is also selling branded peanut butter to make up shortfalls. For NPR News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Fitzgerald, Georgia.
This is NPR News.
And you are listening to Morning Edition here on the Wednesday Morning Show. My name is Andrew DeZingle here with DJ Dang.
Good morning.
The Beltrami County Farm Bureau is having an Egg Day breakfast this Sunday, June 28th at the fairgrounds here in Bemidji. Here to talk more about the event is Vern Holseder and James Dodds. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, first up, question for you. What exactly is the Beltrami County Farm Bureau?
The Farm Bureau is a nonprofit organization for agricultural promotion. We're a membership-based organization. We're kind of a three-tier level organization. You belong to your county, your state, and your nation when you belong to the Farm Bureau.
Okay. And, like, what does the Farm Bureau do?
Well, our mission statement is to be an advocate for agriculture, and we do that through legislation, through policy development, through ag promotion, and through leadership development.
So we've got the breakfast going on this Sunday. What can you tell us will be happening at the breakfast?
Well, it'll be out at the Beltrami County Fairgrounds from 9 to noon, and we will be having a pancake breakfast. But it is an exceptional pancake breakfast. You know, you'll get pancakes, sausage, ham. Your pancakes are slathering in berries, ice cream, and juice, coffee will be provided. It's a free will offering, so you can give whatever you choose. All we want to do is try to break even.
I thought for sure you were going to say homemade maple syrup, slathered in maple syrup, and then you said berries.
Oh, yeah, there will be syrup, but not homemade maple
and
syrup.
And ice cream?
Yeah, and ice cream.
So you went in a totally different, like, luxurious direction.
Oh, yeah. Ice delicious. Cream is its own food group. People do not know that on the food pyramid. Yeah.
Grown right here in ag country.
Oh, you bet. And so that's part of it. So you come and eat. But we have lots of activities going on also. It's sort of like a mini fair. There'll be live music on the stage. We do have a silent auction with some really cool stuff that people can bid on. And we have farm animals. We'll have, you know, cows, calves, sheep, lambs, chickens, turkeys. It's actually a good time to bring your kid out to have hands-on experiences with the animals. In that, at the fair, your 4-H exhibitors got animals in multiple barns. They've got all kinds of shows they got to be at. They're working at the kitchen, whatever. All they're going to be doing is sitting there with their animals to visit with people. And so it's a really good time to come have some hands-on experience. And, oh, we have some wading pools full of corn and wheat that kids can play in like they'd play in a sandbox.
Oh.
The biggest problem we have is parents dragging their kids out screaming and crying because they don't want to leave. And so we'll have the horse-drawn wagon rides, the live music. We also will have the robotics building open. A lot of people don't realize the Northern Minnesota Robotics Conference built a building at our fairgrounds. And they do all kinds of cool stuff in there. And the kids aren't going to be in there watching them do things. The kids are going to be in there doing things with robots. And this building services the whole upper half of Northern Minnesota. And we should have the robotics people come in and talk to you sometime. You know, a swim team can't practice without a swimming pool. A basketball team can't practice without a basketball court. Well, our robotics students in Northern Minnesota had no place to practice. And now we do. And the fair doesn't own the building. We just allowed the robotics conference to build it on the fairgrounds. And so they service all of Northern Minnesota. Kids come down from the Iron Range, they come from Alexandria, all the way over to the North Dakota border, down from the Canadian border. So that's going to be a real hit. The fire tower will be open, the 4-H education building will be open, the ham radio club will be out there, and people can go on and talk to people all over the world. And we'll have a beekeeper out there, and he's got a glassed-in beehive, so you'll be able to watch the bees working, you know, building their combs. You'll be able to see the queen bee. You'll be able to see the little baby bees in there. And it's a real great thing to do. And
So, hold on a second. I'm trying to picture this. So the beekeeper is inside of a glass
encasement too, or he's just the hives? He's got this glass hive. And it's a smaller hive.
Oh, so you can see through the hive.
Yeah, so you can just see, because the bees are just right there in front of your face.
Oh, cool.
And so you can watch them doing their thing in the hive.
That's awesome.
And Lester is, like, just real interesting to talk to. We always give him a chair to sit on, but he never uses it because he's too busy talking to folks. So just some real hands-on experiences. And, like I said, just like a little mini fair. And last year we had about 900 people come.
Oh, wow.
So so it's just a fun little morning. And did I forget anything? Master Gardeners will be there. You got questions about your trees, what trees to plant after last year's storm. The Master Gardeners planted some new trees at the fairgrounds where we lost them due to the storm. And they planted trees that aren't normally grown in this area. And so they're going to be able to tell you about them, why you want to try that tree. Don't plant ash trees, because in 5 years, the emerald ash borer is probably going to be here killing off that tree. And that's what they want to avoid. They want to have a diversity of trees, so if some disease or insect comes through, we're not losing our whole population like we did with the elms, you know, many decades ago.
So I saw on the poster on the Facebook page that Pig Show is a big part. It had a big part on the poster.
Yeah, there
is. So I'm curious, what is the Pig Show?
Yeah, there's also going to be a swine show. And we got exhibitors coming from quite a few counties. And it'll be just like a show would be at the fair. So people bring their swine, and they're going to go into the show arena. And then we have an official judge judging them competitively to see, like in the breeding class, which gelt would be the best to breed from in the market class. which gilts and barrels would be the most efficient meat producers, that type of thing.
Okay.
And each breed of pig has its own type. The judge will be looking at that. And so that's kind of interesting. And, you know, you get a bunch of pigs in the ring, it's sort of like a bunch of gladiators. And so there's always something happening. So it's kind of interesting, even for the non-farm farm person.
Yeah, we were talking off the air of maybe in the Bemidji area, like we're known for trees everywhere kind of thing. Like maybe people don't realize how much agriculture is in the area. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, of like kind of the agriculture scene in Beltrami County?
Well, Beltrami County is very diverse. Like you said, wood products are pretty dominant in the area. But, you know, we also have a fair share of the cow-calf industry with cattle. I believe Beltrami County has something like 16,000 head of beef cattle in the county. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a significant impact to our local economies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Mm-hmm. And there's wild rice growing in our county, you know, the cultivated wild rice. We have a significant hay crop.
So hay and forages is probably second.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And forestry is agriculture. So
it's
huge
the state's
component of our economy here.
Yep, it's the state's tallest crop.
So you mentioned that you had around 900 people showing up last year. Like, how do you prepare that amount of food, not knowing for sure like how many people are going to show up? Like, what's that preparation process for this breakfast?
We just look at the last year's records. This has been going on for a few decades, so we kind of look at the history. And then just order accordingly.
Mm-hmm. This is an amazing amount of dedicated volunteers come together to make this happen.
Yeah. How many people would you guess like are working behind the scenes to make something like this?
Oh, golly. When we get the kids in there with their animals and that, it could easily be 40.
Yeah, easily.
You know? Yeah. It's just like at fair time. We have literally hundreds of volunteers that just come out of the woodwork every year. And that's how this is.
The county fair is really nice.
Yeah.
There's this amazing gathering of volunteers, and this is just a little mini expression of that. So,
mm-hmm.
Excellent. And you said it's free will donation to attend, and people don't need to register beforehand. Can they just show up?
Just show up.
Just bring your family, bring the kids. Very family oriented and fun. So,
mm-hmm.
Excellent. That's going on this Sunday from 9 to noon.
Yep.
All right.
Well, at the Beltrami County Fairgrounds.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, Vernon James, thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yep, thanks
thank
for coming you. In, guys.
All right. We're going to play a tune for you now. This is Ann Jamili with the song Like You Really Mean It.
Come on, baby.
And that was Jimmy Lee with the song Like You Really Mean It from their new album You're Free to Go. Here on the Wednesday Morning Show, my name is Andrew DeZingle here with DJ Dang.
Good morning.
And we have a very special guest joining us live now. We sent her on a report this morning to see what it's like outside. Heather, what can you say is going on out there?
Well, besides the throngs of people at our window supporting the Wednesday.
We never bring that up about all the people that
As
hang out.
As happens every Wednesday.
Hey, every Wednesday.
Yep, hello out there.
The signs are so creative. I absolutely love it. Other than that, it seems like maybe we won't get rain all day, which may be a little bit of a bummer, but it's also kind of beautiful.
Yeah, it is cloudy right now, but that sun is trying to shine. We got enough light in here. Maybe we don't even need these lights on.
Turn them off.
But Heather, we asked you to come here not just to discuss the outside world, but also something that's special that's going on here at KXE KBXE.
Yeah. So I want to let everybody know that we are having a contest to design the next Green Cheese t-shirt for the station. And I am so excited about this because I know our members, I know our listeners are very creative. I know teasers especially are very creative, and we just can't wait for you to submit your artwork, and let's see what you come up with.
Are we taking like sketches on napkins? How is this going down?
Well, you can sketch it on a napkin for sure, but you have to scan it in so we can get it digitally. And you know, if any of the technological stuff seems like a barrier, just give me a call and I'm more than happy to help out. But yeah, we're looking for something that is in the spirit of green cheese. So like, what would you say the spirit of green cheese is? I would say number one word that pops into my head is kind of whimsical.
Humor.
I would say whimsy.
And very, it's very personal because green cheese is, it's a community. And a kind of an organically forming community. So that it doesn't have anything to do with geography, really. So that's kind of what we're looking for. Something fun and funky and maybe a little bit cheesy, you know?
Just a little.
A little. And you can submit that through our website. I believe it is. I didn't bring my paper
it
with me.
It is kxe.org/cheesecontest.
Cheese contest. Ooh. Yes. And it's up, and there's a form right there for you to fill out, and you can attach your image. And we're looking for about the size of a piece of paper, so it needs to be big enough for us to maybe manipulate a little bit if we need to make it print on a shirt really well, but not tiny. So maybe not a cocktail napkin, maybe a dinner napkin size, if you're going that route. But yeah, you can do pencil and paper or pen, or you can use your tablet. The only thing we're asking you not to use is AI or artwork that was made by someone else.
Absolutely. And I think it's fair to say that, like, green cheese, of all our programs we hear on KXE, KBXE, it's the most, like, direct community involvement. Like, the show would not exist without the listeners participating, and that makes sense for them to also help design a new shirt.
Yeah,
for the green cheese.
Absolutely. And members are always asking about, do we have any new green cheese t-shirts? The thing is, like, we don't have any at the stations. We are out. We are sold out. People love them for Christmas and birthdays and to just wear around and show off their favorite radio show. And so we want to have some new ones that we can let you wear and go out and rep green cheese.
What's the time parameter?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the due date is July 8th. So you have about 2 weeks to get your design in.
And you can do that by visiting our website, kxe.org/cheesecontest.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, we're excited to see those designs. Heather, you said it's live now.
Yes, it's live now. Yep.
Excellent. Well,
and we'll be judging. Staff gets to judge. So it'll be
so
fun.
So judgy.
I know. We are a judgy bunch.
What if we all split on the vote where we all vote for a different one? What happens then? Who gets the tiebreaker vote?
I mean,
Julie Crabb.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Or Brandon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should get the green cheese host involved.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. We have the cheese hosts as tiebreakers. But yeah, that's